Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, it's the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Julio Diaz, he is the host of the Pensacola Movie Club. You can watch movies, follow them on Facebook, and talk about them. And then also the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard on Saturdays here on News Radio at 4 o'clock. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So first up, we have Eddington. And this is, it looks like it's an A24 movie. I think that's the... They used to be kind of not great movies, but they've almost become a pretty good movie house.
I mean, yeah, it's A24 is pretty much a, you know, one of the indie independent film importeurs right now. I guess I think I'm saying that word correctly. Tend to be known a lot for elevated horror movies, but they do a lot of other stuff too, of course. Everything Everywhere All at Once was an A24 movie. They won a couple. I think they were an Aurora was too, if I'm not mistaken. Last couple of Oscar winners in there. So they always seem to make interesting projects.
Yeah. Not the mainstream kind of stuff. And I used to honestly, when I would see that we had checked out an A24, I was like, ooh. And now I'm like, oh, well, let's see. You know. So how was Eddington?
This is a movie that has a lot of opinions. Several of them seem to be contradictory to each other, and I'm not sure that it knows what it's trying to say.
Okay.
Kind of a dramatic, dark comedy that is set in a small New Mexico town about 4 years ago. So in the heat of the COVID pandemic and the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, all of the trauma that we were going through, you know, 4 years ago.
Okay.
So it's a great cast in this. Joaquin Phoenix, Emma Stone, Pedro Pascal, Austin Butler, a lot of big, you know, Joaquin's got an Oscar, Emma Stone's got two, Austin Butler was nominated.
Right.
Pedro, I think it's just a matter of time.
Right, agreed.
The acting is impeccable. What it's all in service of is beyond me, because this is... Joaquin Phoenix is the sheriff of this small county in New Mexico. Pedro Pascal is the mayor. They're kind of at odds over the whole mask mandate thing at first, and then things just escalate from there. And goes like the mask thing kind of goes out the window about a half an hour, 45 minutes into the movie when the BLM stuff starts.
Okay.
And it's trying to say a lot of things about 4 years ago, and it's trying to indict both sides of every equation. And there's a lot of hypocrisy going on, which is a fair take. There's a lot of hypocrisy going on in real life too. But it's a mess.
Okay.
It really is. It doesn't know what it's trying to say. There's one character who's kind of a side character throughout the whole thing, and surprise at the end, he's Kyle Rittenhouse. Not actually, they don't name him that, but
it looks like that character, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, down to the fact, oh, yeah, he's on TikTok and he's moved to Florida.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but no, I know it was, it's not Do the Right Thing, it sounds like, but is there enough richness in there for people who want a thinker to then talk about it afterwards that it gives that, or is it just get too much in its own way to be useful?
For me, it's the latter.
Okay.
Your mileage may vary. I really enjoyed Ari Aster made this movie. He made Hereditary and Midsommar, which I think are two of the best horror movies of this century, this new millennium that we're in. In fact, we're going to be doing a show on Let's Go Pensacola pretty soon, where we're going to actually break down the top 25 horror movies of the last 25 years. Jeremy and I have been working on that list.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, I think both of those movies made that list.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a muddling kind of try. All right. We only got about a minute left, but I Know What You Did Last Summer, which is a movie concept we've never heard of before.
Yeah, the general tone of the reviews of this movie are, who was this made for? Because, you know, it's nostalgia for a 90s brand that wasn't that successful to begin with. They did bring back Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jennifer Love Hewitt from the original movie. But it's also like set for like the current generation who doesn't really know that brand. This has always been like Scream light.
Yeah, right.
And that's clearly why they're bringing it back, but there's just not enough nostalgia about this. And it's just apparently not very good, running in the 40% range on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. The reunion reboot nobody was asking for. And the last one, Smurfs, for everybody with kids are going to be going to this movie. The question is it any good?
Not really.
Okay,
in the 20%
cool.
range on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh, 20%.
I'm not sure that there's been a good Smurfs movie. And I'm speaking to somebody that grew up on the original animated series. I mean, like, even the one that came out in the 80s, because there was the Smurfs and the Magic Flute that got released theatrically while the Smurfs was big on television, was not, I mean, as a kid, wasn't great. So,
right.
I mean, you know, everybody has nostalgia for the Smurfs, and they bring it back every few years, but it never really seems to go anywhere. And there's other family films in the theaters. I mean, you take the kids to go see Superman, which is, I still think, fantastic. I love that movie. We're going to talk about that in depth this week on Let's Go Pensacola.
Oh, good. Okay.
And Lilo and Stitch is still out there. We've got, you know, a big family-friendly movie coming out next week, Fantastic Four.
Is that what you guys are going to screen next week?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
100%. All right, very good. Well, grouchy Smurf Julio Diaz doesn't like somebody. Of course, he likes others. Always a pleasure, sir. Listen to him tomorrow, 4 o'clock, on Let's Go Pensacola here on News Radio. Catch up with him on the Facebook page for the Pensacola Movie Club. And we'll talk to you next week. Julio, as always, thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
All right, PJ's got traffic on the fives.
This traffic report is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance offers auto, home, and commercial insurance, plus a variety of business insurance options. Visit progressive.com today. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any signs of delay. No delays on Burgess or Olive. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Every Subaru at Anderson Subaru is built with quality parts and precision engineering, so you can count on your Subaru to be with you for the long road ahead. And you can count on a great rate from Anderson Subaru to help you get there. With 0% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Solterra models, with 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Outback models, or 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Crosstrek models, and 3.9% APR for 48 months on 2025 Forester models. 0%, 1.9%, 2.9%, and 3.9%. Combined with legendary reliability and longevity, there's even more reason to love a Subaru. From Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Sometimes an identity threat is a ring of professional hackers. And sometimes it's an overworked accountant who forgot to encrypt their connection while sending bank details.
I need a coffee.
And you need LifeLock, because your info is in endless places. It only takes one mistake to expose you to identity theft. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 923.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance this week is for the outrageously popular Chinese video game, Revenge on Gold Diggers. Introduced last month, this disgusting game puts players in the role of men who are targeted by women seeking their money through seduction and romance. It rewards players who can see through the various mechanisms of manipulation and then take revenge on the women who tried to take advantage of them by leveraging fake romance for money. It even allows players to infiltrate a female criminal syndicate and take down the network of scammers and honeypotters as revenge on them for their evil relationship frauds. Although the creators of this now single most popular game in China say they made it to help people develop awareness of the various kinds of romance scams taking place in the real world and to equip them to defend against them, we all know that this is yet another way of reducing women to the three basic female stereotypes available to them in video games: the damsel in distress who needs rescuing, the hypersexualized busty Amazon warrior, or the villainous conniver who preys on men through temptation and seduction, the gold digger. And even though the Chinese authorities have banned the game's creator from several social media platforms and forced him to rename the game from Revenge on Gold Diggers to Emotional Anti-Fraud Simulator, which sounds like some bad translation from the original language, the basic elements of the game that are so wrong still exist, and it continues to soar in popularity. Of course, the problem here is that this game perpetuates traditional gender stereotypes in which women essentially barter sexuality and companionship for financial security and protection, or what so-called conservatives call marriage, which is, of course, a direct contradiction to every major tenet of female liberation theory. But even though this filthy game surely needs to be cast out into the endless abyss of utter misogyny, we do see a small glimmer of value in it. You see, it teaches men to beware women who allow them to pay for drinks or dinner because it might be a sign they're being used for financial favors. It teaches them to be cautious around women who are too eager to be pretty or flirt or appear sexually interested. And it teaches them to beware any woman who is interested in how much a man earns before she decides to express an interest in him. And in so doing, it actually may be undermining the traditional relationship of provider-protector man and companion-recipient woman, a norm that spans all successful cultures across all times, but which we, in our infallible wisdom of this particular 3 minutes in human history, of course, know to be a deep gender mistake. And if a game like this makes women reluctant to behave like traditional women for fear of being perceived as gold diggers, and makes men suspicious of women who behave like traditional women for concern they might be trying to scam them, perhaps this game may unintentionally cultivate the very virtues which 14th wave feminism holds dear. But more likely, it's just a giant pile of anti-female propaganda filled with heteronormative culture perpetuation devices that serve to protect and reinforce the patriarchy. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, comedian Shane Gillis, the obnoxious, abrasive, infuriating, and offensive comedian who, for reasons that still elude us, was given the opportunity to MC the ESPYs this week. Of course, we knew it was going to be outrageous, and of course, we knew he would say things likely to get him canceled by our own Holy Supreme Council on unacceptable speech acts and other violence, but even we had no inkling just how bad it would be. Yes, he insulted one of the heroes of our faith, openly lesbian soccer star Megan Rapinoe.
Megan Rapinoe could not make it tonight. Nice. No? We're going to pretend she's a good time. All right.
But if it wasn't bad enough to insult the one who wears fuchsia hair for all our sakes, he then dared to make a joke about gymnastics megastar Simone Biles?
Simone Biles is 4'8" and has 7 gold medals. She's short and has a lot of gold. When she's not competing, she leads a quiet life at the base of a rainbow. It's a leprechaun joke. If you tell Simone a riddle and she can't answer it, she has to give you all of her gold medals.
And in the process of telling this joke, he insults black women, people of alternate height, and physically coordinated leprechauns everywhere who literally are our very favorite mythological beings, people of the rainbow? But by far the worst insult, the most toxic piece of disinclusivity imaginable, was this comment.
Four-time WNBA All-Star Brittany Hicks is here. Give it up for Brittany, everybody. I'm joking around. That's my friend's wife. I knew none of you knew WNBA players. That's crazy. You clap for that.
This is simply unacceptable. Telling a joke based on the closed-minded bigotry and systemic misogyny of American sports culture is completely unacceptable. After all the years of work we have done trying to convince people that watching women play basketball is every bit as entertaining as watching men do so, and after proving definitively that the only reason the WNBA is not as lucrative and popular as the NBA is not due to any difference in the quality of the product, but entirely because of narrow-minded, anti-feminist Neanderthals who refuse to spend their time and money watching women play the same game men play, just slower. And here he is, making a joke about how women only pretend, or people only pretend to like women's basketball as a form of egalitarian virtue signaling and not because they actually enjoy it? What a scoundrel. He directly violated at least four of the commandments of wokeness, not the least of which is the 47th, which says, "Thou shalt not tell the truth if the truth does not reinforce the holy wokeness narrative." No, Shane Gillis, you can make fun of a white man all you like. Mock Aaron Rodgers, mock President What's-His-Name, mock Bill Belichick, and always feel free to mock the Dallas Cowboys. They've earned it. But don't you dare mock lesbian soccer stars, diminutive African-American leprechauns in training, and don't you ever, ever, ever again dare to make fun of the valiant and amazing women of the WNBA. You'd better keep Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark's names out of your filthy fat mouth. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a very hearty gift basket of affection and validation for Steve Miller, the legendary eponymous 81-year-old frontman for the Steve Miller Band, after this week's decision to cancel all 31 stops on their upcoming North American tour. No, it wasn't because of health concerns or lackluster sales or an issue about them getting raided by ICE, but out of environmental conscientiousness. As Miller posted on social media, "You make music with your instincts. You live your life by your instincts. Always trust your instincts." The Steve Miller Band has canceled all of our upcoming tour dates. The combination of extreme heat, unpredictable flooding, tornadoes, hurricanes, and massive forest fires make these risks for you, our audience, the band, and the crew unacceptable. So you can blame it on the weather. The tour is canceled. Don't know where, don't know when. We hope to see you all again. Wishing you all peace, love, and happiness. Please take care of each other. Steve, the band, and the crew. Oh, it brings a tear of joy to my penetrating third eye to hear the anguish and the love and the concern for his loyal fans in this stern rebuke to the status quo. Who is to blame for the foregone income, the lost enjoyment, the missed social and political value of yet another Steve Miller Band tour? Climate change! Climate change is to blame! And of course, that means Republicans and their arrogant, gas-guzzling, climate-denying indifference to the imminent warning lights dear Mother Gaia is throwing up all across our ecological dashboard. Here you have beautiful souls like Steve Miller refusing to employ thousands of people around the nation, and all because he doesn't want to blow more carbon dioxide into the environment and further jeopardize the lives of his beloved followers. Since there obviously won't be any more natural disasters in any of these tour site cities if Steve Miller just refuses to perform there. Truly, this is one of the greatest acts of social kindness and environmental protest I can imagine. The Joker won't joke, the big old jet airliner won't fly, and just maybe because of this small act of sacrifice, there may one day be enough jungle love so that more creatures can fly like an eagle throughout it. And all of this is happening because Steve Miller, the anointed octogenarian, refused to take the money and run. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
828 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. PJ's got traffic for us. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. I-10, 110, both looking good. No reports of a delay on Olive or Burgess. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars you know, cars that have, you know, maybe a year, 2, 3 years of use in them, maybe one owner, maybe two, you know, 20, 30,000 miles, something like that. They're going to warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles. And one of the things that's an advantage of shopping for these almost new cars at Frontier is you can compare them all side by side. They've got 300 or so on the lot. And so instead of having to drive around to 3 or 4 different places to drive 3 or 4 different cars, you catch them all in one place. You don't have to remember very much. You can look at them, sit in them again, test drive as many as you only have to meet one person. You know how it is when you go to a place, you got to meet a new person every time and tell them your life story and go through this whole rigmarole. And, you know, at Frontier, you meet one person, like, you want to drive a car? Okay, I'll drive a car. I mean, it's really designed to be easy. Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Trump is calling on Attorney General Pam Bondi to release pertinent grand jury testimony in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Trump posted on Truth Social last night that he's directed Bondi to produce the testimony subject to court approval. Bondi later posted that she would move the court today to unseal the transcripts.
Jeffrey Epstein, never heard of him. Who is he?
That's right, never. More flash flood warnings have been reported, Andrew, in the U.S. than ever before this year. New report says over 3,000 flash flood warnings have been issued so far this year, the highest number on record. The report says the trend suggests a wetter and more rainy future. Of course, they're attributing this to
climate change.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing that's killed off the Steve Miller concert tour. Yeah. It's terrible.
Ah, the poor Steve Miller concert. The iconic sled from Citizen Kane has been sold at auction. Andrew, $15 million is what it brought in. That makes it the second most valuable piece of film history ever sold.
The Ruby Slippers?
Second to the Ruby Slippers.
Yes!
That's right. They went for $30 million last year.
You know what I would pay for Rosebud?
What's that?
Zero. Well, no. $100. Because I figure I can resell it.
I guess you wouldn't get much use out of it here.
I will be the one to say I didn't like Citizen Kane. I think it's super overrated. And I have no need to have the sled of a dying billionaire in my possession.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump with signing ceremonies today on the Genius Act, the first ever cryptocurrency bill to regulate stable coins tied to the U.S. dollar. Also passed by Congress, the rescissions bill to claw back $9 billion in Doge-tagged spending.
This was directed to wasteful spending in the previous State Department. Of course, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and a couple of other areas. We looked at that. We thought it was a waste of taxpayer funds, and we're taking care of business.
House Speaker Mike Johnson. Attorney General Pam Bondi will ask a federal court to unseal grand jury testimony from Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking case. Courts have been protecting 1,000 victims' names. President Trump looking to take back the Rock and turning the rotting Alcatraz back to a prison. San Francisco Rep. Nancy Pelosi calls it the stupidest initiative put forth by this administration. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 83 and cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Demonstrators gathered yesterday at Grenada Square in Pensacola for the Good Trouble Lives On protest. Now, this was named in honor of a former civil rights leader and politician, Congressman John Lewis. Immigration, what he was centered on.
I feel like it's the policies around immigration and the path to citizenship that isn't there and hasn't been there for years.
That's Alicia Trawick. She talked to Channel 3. She is the president of the Blue Panhandle Coalition. Escambia County Republican leaders say regardless, the law is the law.
Unfortunately, you know, they broke the law, and the way the immigration policies work that are currently on the books, Trump is enforcing the law. So if you came here illegally, you know, you have to go back and come legally. So that's the way that it is.
That's Escambia Republican Party Committeewoman Jennifer Schaffner. And PPD was watching that protest. They say there were no issues reported. Demonstrations were also held in other communities nearby, Niceville, Fairhope, Mobile, and really all across the nation yesterday. A Locksley man facing charges for allegedly sexually abusing kids over nearly a decade. Baldwin County deputies arrested 31-year-old Daniel Hartman yesterday. Charges of rape, sodomy, and sex abuse. Officials say two victims had been identified. Charges are also anticipated from offenses involving other victims. Investigators began looking into Hartman last April after allegations were made that victims under 12 years old were being abused in two states. Hartman is being held on $135,000 bond in the Baldwin County Jail. Well, FHP is investigating a crash that closed Scenic Highway this morning. Happened at Pelican Lane. Troopers say a vehicle ran off the road and hit a utility pole. The crash knocked power lines onto the road. There's no word how long it'll take for that to be repaired. Not seeing any reports of power outages related to those downed lines. A jury in Pensacola has awarded a $50 million verdict against an apartment complex, a property manager, and the owners of the complex for an attempted murder case that happened in 2020. David Saldana was shot six times by a neighbor, Yaganda Bushbaum, who falsely accused him of sexual assault. Despite the complex's knowledge of Bushbaum's mental illness and a history of false reports, they didn't intervene. After Bushbaum was convicted of attempted murder in 2022, Saldana received one of the largest legal verdicts in Pensacola history, but the path to receiving that settlement could involve years of litigation. The trial of a former building contractor accused of racketeering and fraud is pushed back. Jesse Lacoste was set to appear in court this week. That's now been pushed until September. The 33-year-old was accused of conning homeowners out of millions by taking money and never finishing and sometimes never even starting the work on their properties. He was indicted in 2023 on multiple charges, including racketeering, forgery, perjury, making false statements, theft, and fraud. Lacoste has pleaded not guilty. He'll be back in court on September 25th. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and PJ has our traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. 9 Mile looking accident-free, also not showing any signs of delays in Car City. Highway 90, clear from Milton to Pace. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Saturday, 70% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Going into Sunday, a 30% chance of those showers, high near 92. And by Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Seganica's Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather App. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. It's 83 degrees. We've got cloudy skies this morning. Your next news is at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. And your money now this morning. Our markets at the opening bell are mixed, with the Dow down 28 points right now, 44,456. S&P's up 13.5 points, 63.10. NASDAQ up 71 points at 29.51. 10-year bond rate is down at 4.425%. Gold price is up $18.90 at $33.64.20. Silver's up 32 cents at $38.62. And looking at that crypto market, no huge changes, but Bitcoin down 700 at $118.761. Ethereum's up 202. Solana's up 724. Dogecoin up 3 cents today at 25 cents. Housing starts are up. They've grown by 4.6% in June compared to May, according to today's report from the U.S. Census Bureau. That represents more than 1.3 million homes, or half a percent less than at this time last year. More Americans say they're delaying their retirement over concerns about the economy and their own finances.
A new survey from F&G Annuities and Life found that 23% of people over 50 are planning to hold off. That's up from 14% 2 years ago. Another study found that the median savings of 55-year-olds is roughly $50,000. There's also Social Security. The longer a person waits to retire, the more benefits they'll receive. I'm Michael Kastner.
Well, Peacock is raising its subscription rates by $3 per month. The NBC Universal streaming service has been a big success thanks to its hit reality series Love Island, and it's expecting even more viewers when the NBA season begins this fall. Starting on Wednesday, Peacock subscriptions go up $3 to $10.99 a month with ads and $16.99 a month if you don't want to watch the ads. 8:38, our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
To the hip, the hip, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Oh, I will get to the wrap in just a second, but I just got the funniest text in. Somebody said, you're doing great, Andrew. I had to tell my mom that the bit Transgressors is satire because she was getting big time mad at you. I have one person who always texts me that he's at work, and whenever the Transgressor's on, he has to turn it down because all the people think that he's this raging liberal. It's funny. All right, it's time for the wrap. That's when we hang out with a couple of friends here in studio and just talk about the events and news of the week or whatever comes up. I never know for sure what's going to happen. That's the good thing about talking to good people. Jeremy Evans, who is a many-time recidivist. Welcome back, Jeremy. Great to have you.
Thank you, sir.
Who's even filled in for me a couple of times.
A couple times, a great
job at it. Jennifer Harrison, I've known her for forever, and I don't know how I never thought of having you on for the wrap, but then when you were on with Michelle Salzman, when she filled in, I'm like, oh! Yeah, she should be on for the wrap. Absolutely. Jennifer, good to have you.
Good morning. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. We were just off the air talking about recycling. So let's start there. The city has been, you know, we've relaunched recycling. It goes to the ECWA facility, but it's being collected by city vehicles. And there's been lots of details here, but a couple of key ones. Number one is you've dropped from two times a week collection to one, which I know some people are very frustrated about. You do have to pay extra, which it's not a lot extra, but, you know, it's not super cheap either. I mean, you go from basically it's $8 if you want an extra can. It can be a garbage can. It can be a recycling can. You can do both, whatever, but it's $8 versus $25 for one. And the rules, you know, no glass, for example, is something that most people don't know because they look on ECUA, it says glass is fine. They look on City of Pensacola, glass is not fine. What do I do? So, Jennifer, did you opt in for a can?
I did not.
Because you don't like to recycle, you hate the earth?
No, I love to recycle. I take mine to the recycle location on Summit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I'll clean it and put it there.
Yep.
But you also have to depend on everybody else cleaning it. And then I just didn't see the value in it as of yet.
And $8, I mean.
And it's only $8, but still.
Well, I mean, I think $8, I mean,
I'm up against paying enough.
up against $25, $8 is actually quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you can live close enough to the Summit drop-off and feel like it's not that inconvenient, you've gotten into that habit.
Yes.
And I've done it both ways. I've lived in places where we have curbside. I mean, I live in the county now, so we have curbside. I've lived in places where you paid. I've lived in places where it's free. And I lived in a place where you had to take it in, to do bottles and things like that because they pay you in Oregon is how that worked. And, you know, a long time ago in Michigan. I mean, we're only at like 1,400 so far out of 21,000 households have signed up. Now, they're big on the push this week. They're sending out mailers. More opt-in is expected to be coming. But you think it's going to get to that 6,000 or 7,000 households that they're really looking for?
I don't think it will get there.
What's the holdup for people? The cost?
I think it's just the cost and everything that happened before.
All the confusion.
People don't know what to do. They're in an uproar right now on social. I mean,
Everything is a fire.
Everything's a fire, yeah. And they just, I don't know. I just know what happened before before they pulled it, and nobody was doing the right way.
Right.
So I, at the moment, don't see it being any different.
I think a lot of people, Jeremy, are upset about the, going from two to one. Mm-hmm. And they're having to deal with the smells of the chicken that went in on Monday when I don't get picked up till, you know, Friday, and that didn't happen before. And, I think Americans right now seem primed to be angry.
Yes.
And anything that doesn't immediately strike them as awesome kind of shoves them over the cliff to fury. And this is one of those topics. And I don't know. What do you think?
I live in the county, and I know that in the city you pay taxes and you're supposed to get extra services and those kind of things with the extra taxes you pay to the city.
Yeah.
I live in the county. I get my trash picked up one time a week. I don't think anything about it. As long as I remember to get the can out there the once a week, everything's fine. If I forget one week, we're in trouble. But if I was in the city and I was paying city taxes, and part of those city taxes was supposed to be extra services, and I wasn't getting that extra service, I think I would, again, you know, consolidation has been a long conversation in this community. Should the city exist? Should it be consolidated? But I think functional consolidation here with the, garbage pickup seems to be an area that makes a lot of sense, particularly if in the city you're already not getting those extra services. Why do you have a separate city trash organization that's different than the county when it's providing the same service that the people in the county are getting?
Yeah, you know, it's actually an interesting point because the city votes for ECUA.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. City residents vote for ECUA, but what does ECUA have to do with their life?
Water.
Water.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah.
Because recycling is not sanitation.
Sewage and water.
I guess sewage.
Sewage and water.
But, yard waste and stuff like that, that city takes care of it. But so it is kind of an odd situation where you could have partial consolidation, like EMS. I mean, we don't have a separate ambulance service for the city. So it can be done. I'm interested to see how this goes. I would like to see it work well because my whole life I've recycled. I'm a believer in it. I'm curious to see. How it works out.
Yeah. It would be nice if it worked. We could all do it right, but
I will say, I think that, the two kinds of contamination is, as you say, dirty stuff, but also the wrong stuff.
Yep.
The wrong stuff has historically been the big problem. And if you start off with you can't take glass, I think the vast majority of people who are willing to recycle, that's news to them.
Yeah.
They're not, what? Now, it's going to have on the lid. It's going to have a sticker. But still, you expect to be able to do glass. That's one of the all-time recyclables, right? Mm-hmm. Cans, plastic, glass, cardboard,
But if you're over-communicating this, like I said, I'm in the county, and I didn't know you were supposed to clean stuff. I think we do a pretty good job of keeping things like cardboard and glass separate when we bag it up. But I didn't know you couldn't take glass. And if you are...
Well, in the county, you can.
In the county,
but it's all
can.
Going to the same recycling facility.
So the deal is they have built this contract with ECUA that is predicated on only the most profitable elements. And so city trucks are not going to be bringing glass to the ECUA because glass apparently is not doing so well right now. They are bringing high-density plastic, aluminum cans, cardboard, and paper. But that's also part of the issue, as you would think, well, why can't they put glass in? Well, because it's the way the contract is structured.
But if the county is dirty, wrong stuff, and the city people are doing things perfectly, and then they have to shut the facility down because there's too much wrong stuff coming from the county because they haven't really communicated effectively to the county. The city people are doing things the right way, but then they become victims of losing the surface on what the greater county area is doing because there's not the same communications that's coming out to the county people about do this, don't do that.
It's going to be interesting to see. And I think the whole time I have lived here, recycling has been the grand hokey pokey for the city of Pensacola. And especially going back to under Hayward when it was not happening and nobody knew it wasn't happening, and that kind of level of trust has been really degraded.
I think that's why a lot of people won't, because of all that from before.
PJ's got a quick traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. I-10 and 110 both looking good. 3 Mile Bridge not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. All right, Jeremy Evans, you're... knowledge of state politics is exhaustive. Yeah. Exhausting? No, just exhaustive. It's quite good. story that has gotten almost no attention that you think is a really big story is that, and I agree, is that you now finally, after, gosh, what has it been, 5 months, 4 months, something like that? Jimmy Petronas has been out as CFO because he's been a congressman, and now finally Blazing Olia is going to be the CFO for the state by DeSantis, and this is a big issue because
Joe Gruters is Donald Trump's chosen person for the CFO position. Endorsed early on, has endorsed for some amount of time, and you had Joe Gruters, who he was the...
Both former senators.
Both currently. Joe Gruters is currently a senator. Blazing Gulley was a senator until yesterday.
I got it.
Joe Gruters was the author of the legislation early on about the immigration, caused all of the immediate kind of frustration in the state legislature early on. You had Blazing Gulley, who was Governor DeSantis's chief lieutenant in the Senate. So you had the two of them on opposite sides. They are both former chairman of the Republican Party of Florida. Blazing Gulley, was the chief DeSantis campaign guy who launched attacks at Trump, which I think is less of a deal than people are making out of. That's just part of doing business. You know, the Trump people are launching a tax at DeSantis, vice versa. But I think it will be the most expensive race moving
for a position almost nobody cares about.
Yeah, and it'll just be in the primary, but it will be an ugly, dirty primary. Yeah. And a year from now, we will see who holds the power because incumbents don't get challenged in primaries.
Right.
Incumbents backed by their governors don't get challenged in primaries. But in this situation, you have the guy who President Trump is, you know, most of the people he endorses, people don't run against. And if they do run against, they lose. And so I think it's going to be a fascinating primary to watch over the next 9 months. And DeSantis came out swinging at Joe Gruters saying, if George Washington had endorsed him, I would not have done any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And DeSantis also said, you know, he doesn't believe that Donald Trump knows who Joe Gruters is. And some of these things where he just continues to poke the bear.
Yeah.
And every time I think there's a chance the two of them could get on the same page, they bear off into different directions. And so from a political spectator point of view, I think that primary for the CFO race for the Republican nomination is going to be fascinating to watch over the next year to see what do the tea leaves tell us about what happens moving forward.
And it's really interesting to see, Jennifer, you're really close with Michelle Salzman. Mm-hmm. You run her food donation events. And of course, you were on with her when she was filling in. This creates a different kind of angst among Republican elected officials because they're going to be asked to pick sides. And, you know, how do you navigate loyalty to the party when the party doesn't have a pick or yeah. The party has active conflict like this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I think so,
definitely,
too.
Definitely. Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Jeremy, you still think Jay Collins is likely for lieutenant governor?
I do. I think that DeSantis has been pulling his chief folks up into positions that he can kind of trust and create legacies. You mm-hmm. see that's happened with our universities. We have a new president at the University of West Florida.
That was going to be my next question, literally.
Manny Diaz, who was his education, came from the Education Board of Governors, and he's kind of sprinkled those people throughout the state of Florida to kind of create a legacy of sorts. And so I would be shocked if it's anybody besides Jay Collins. I'm kind of surprised it's taken this long to happen.
Yeah, well, that's been a pattern for DeSantis, though, is vacancies don't get filled. I mean, we saw it here locally with, you know, ECUA. We saw it here locally with the county commission. It just, you know, it's a problem. He just doesn't get vacancies. I mean, what set up the UWF drama was a neglect of filling open board yeah. seats. And then, of course, they got all filled all at once with a clear intent. And, yeah. you know, and then we saw
well,
all that.
Well, I think the interesting thing about the lieutenant governor position is his chief kind of rival over the past year has been state Senate President Ben Albritton has kind okay. of been. And if something had happened to him by not having a lieutenant governor, he turns over power to his chief, you know, political adversary
right.
in Tallahassee, which seems like if he could undo all of the things very quickly and appointments that the governor had done. So I'm kind of surprised he waited so long for that to happen.
You mentioned UWF. Manny Diaz is now in charge at UWF. He's taken over as of Monday. His family is kind of on their way here. Mm-hmm. I talked to him this week, and he did a press conference this week. And as you both know, I have been extremely critical of the moves by the governor, of the Board of Trustees, their behavior across the board. I'm optimistic. I don't know yet. Time will tell, obviously, but you know, how we got here is one thing. Where we are and where we go forward is another thing. You know, I like Manny. He seems capable. Mm-hmm. He's got an education background.
Yeah, I like him. I'm optimistic as well. I think it's going to be a lot of good changes for the university. So far.
Yeah.
So far from what I've seen. I watched the press conference and everything. So far, it's looking good.
And the picture that he seems to be drawing is UWF can be FSU. UWF can be Auburn. Mm-hmm. UWF can be any university, and we want it to be that. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I've only lived here 11 years, but I have two kids that went there and one more that's going to go. And when I came, my impression as an outsider was that UWF was PSC+.
Yeah.
Was, an extension of the community college. It was the safety school. It was a school that everybody got into, and it was good. But, you know, if you can't get in somewhere else, it has definitely gone well beyond that. It is
yes.
now a genuinely good school. And I think we look at it as, man, it's come so far. And I think he's looking at it as, but look at how far we could go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be fascinating to see over the next 6 months to a year. I think that some of the members of the Board of Trustees have philosophical changes they want to see in higher education. Mm-hmm. And those philosophical changes will be detrimental to the metric system by which we judge how successful our higher education institutions are. Manny Diaz, who was at the Board of Governors, chief of Board of Governors, probably understands the metric systems and how to move those levers better than most of the other people who have been appointed to these presidential positions because
he's been
ingrained in it.
Yeah.
And so I think it will be fascinating to see, does he lead to grow metrics and be successful by how we have measured universities over the past 5 to 10 years? Or does he stray more into this philosophical, let's change the way higher education works that we've heard from some of the Board of Trustees, who I think will be, maybe they're right over 30, 40 years from now, but it's one of those things like going to tariffs. There's going to be a lot of pain before you get there, and is Manny Diaz willing to take that route? I don't think he is. I think he's going to be more focused on how do we continue to be successful and be more successful than my predecessors have been.
And he's focused a lot on the student. That's his thing. Mm-hmm. So, which it should be.
And the athletics.
He
was really clear that athletics has a lot of value, has a pretty important function, particularly football. And we'll kind of see how that plays out. I will say that the times that when I have talked with him, once off the air and once on the air, the emphasis on neutrality, on a university being a place where all ideas are welcome and no idea is preferenced. I think we all believe in that. We all hope for that. Of course, what I think folks on the left are thinking is, well, you say that, but, you know, will it actually be that? Mm-hmm. And of course, what folks on the right will say, and I think not wrongly so, is, you've been in control for an awful long time, and maybe it's time for at least a little bit of balance in this regard. We'll be back in just a second with Jennifer Harrison and Jeremy Evans here in studio with me for the wrap. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. Highway 29 is accident-free. I-10 and 110, both looking good. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks so much, PJ. All right, we have so much we haven't gotten to. Jeremy, we joke before the show, like, here's the 10 things we can talk about. We'll get to three, you know, if we're lucky. Man, I had a really interesting conversation earlier in the day about lowering the voting age in England to 16 in the UK. I think that is a fascinating subject. It's probably barely on anybody's radar. But I do want to talk about it. Like, I mean, we still have the Coldplay couple, you know, we have the Epstein stuff. But okay, I know that's hot, and I know you have an interesting take on this. If I would have never predicted that the Epstein files list, cover up, non-disclosure, doesn't exist, killed himself video, all that stuff, I would have never predicted that this was the thing that would really fracture the relationship between Trump and his most ardent supporters. But man, it sure looks like it.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is the thing that, if there's going to be something that divorces Donald Trump from MAGA Nation, it seems to be this. It checks all the boxes. It's conspiracy theory. It's reality TV. It's swampy. Mm-hmm. It's all of those things. And this
it's lurid rich people taking advantage.
And what it is also awful.
Yeah, right.
And so I think that the president, for years he talked about, we're going to release it, we're going to release it, we're going to release it.
Right.
And now that it's time to release it, they're not releasing it and saying, well, we're not releasing it because it's nothing really except Democratic conspiracy theory.
He said it, he's gaslighting the people who have followed him on this for five years.
And I think he thought he was going to say it and it was going to go away, and that didn't happen. And I don't think it's going to go away. And then this new, I think today they said they were going to release some information, but trickle-truthing it is not going to help either. It's just going to cause more and more and more and more fury. And I think that if he is involved in any of it, if it comes out he is involved in it, the cover-up is worse than the crime. It's just
The Wall Street Journal publishes this letter, and he's now, suing them or threatening them or whatever, and that looks like all the swampy stuff that he's stood against, at least, you know, verbally all of these years. And it's weird because it hadn't been my issue. And so maybe I didn't grasp how important it was to people. I thought criticizing DeSantis over being too pro-life was going to sink him. You know, I was totally wrong. Nobody cared. You know, fine. Jennifer, what do you see here?
No, I mean, I think it checks all the boxes. I mean, that's why people are upset about it, because it's just awful. The whole thing is awful.
Here was my one thought, and I don't know if this is right, but I always try to explain the things that I cannot explain. And my one thought is that, okay, let's imagine that everything he's saying is true, that it's really nothing, there's no list, there's no cover-up, okay? In his mind, he's just telling people what's real, and they're overreacting. And I don't think he has a gear that allows him to think, I need to play politics to this people in my base. They trust me. If I say it, they'll go with me. I'm good. And all of a sudden, it's just, which has always been true, and all of a sudden, it's not true.
And I mean, this is something that goes back to, I mean, bread and circuses.
Yep.
This is the circus.
Absolutely.
And you had, at the very beginning of the administration, the conservative bloggers who had the things, and they're smiling of, these are the Epstein files that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And now to act like, oh, that wasn't anything. That was nothing. And I think it's just, and if he was in there, and if he knew it was bad, I don't know why he ever went down this, like, it's...
You wouldn't make a thing of it if it was bad for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And he has, and now it's just like, it's like cliffhanger on, you know, on the do-de-o-de, on Price is
Right.
Right?
Exactly,
and,
that's it.
And eventually you get to the top of the cliff and you fall down.
Well, and, you know, the Pam Bondi, I've got it on my desk and now it doesn't exist. It checks all the boxes for the mindset that his most faithful people have cultivated in all the wrong ways for him. Yeah, so I, you know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I have been surprised by just how vivid it is. So if you go to a Coldplay concert with your HR manager and hug her and are cheating on your wife and she's cheating on her husband, and they've got you on the kiss cam, best advice is pretend like nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you duck and hide.
And then come out with blaming Coldplay for putting you on the Jumbotron. Hey, thanks, Jennifer and Jeremy. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3.